We're in the middle of Torah Dalet and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. We're up to the paragraph in the middle of Ois Zayin, the paragraph that begins with the words Ubishvil Zeh. We'll just give a very short summary of what we learned till we're up to, and we'll continue. Rabbeinu Zal started off speaking about Shleimus Hadas, which is when a person comes to the realization that everything that happens to them is for their good, whether it appears to be good, whether it appears to be bad. And Rabbeinu Zal said the only way a Yid could be zeichet to that level of Das is only when the person is zeichet to elevate the Malchus Tikdusha from its Golus among the Goyim. And Rabbeinu Zal explained that the Malchus is in Golus, and there'll come a time when it's going to be taken out of Golus. And Rabbeinu Zal explained the key to elevating the Malchus Tikdusha out of Golus is Vidui Dvorim in front of a Talmud Chacham. And he spoke about that, about how that's the union of Tshuva. And then Rabbeinu Zal said that this union of Echod, when a person is zeichet to make one out of the good and the bad, Echod is Begimatria Ahavo, because the person zeichet to come to the realization that even when Hashem punishes the person, Es Asher Yehav Hashem Yechiach, that even the Teichocho, which is punishment, which could be pain, suffering, even that is Machmas Ahavo. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain that when a Yid does Averois, the Averois are carved out on the bones of the person. The words of the mitzvah in the Torah that the person violated become carved out on the bones of the person. And when a person is zeichet to be mizvada, those words exit from the bones in the form of the verbal confession that the person is making. Rabbeinu Zal brought proof from the case of Yehuda, whose bones, the Gemara uses the wording, his bones were rattling in their coffin throughout the time that he was traveling in the Midbar, in the desert, and it came to a tikkun when Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned his confession, the confession of Yehuda. That was a concept of the Vidui Dvorim being said in front of a Talmud Chacham. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain what Vidui Dvorim is, how that's the Talmud Chacham is a concept of fire, and the person's Averois are fire, because Averois are instigated through the Yetzer Hara, who is Chom, the Mechamem Gufei de Barnash, a fire of sin, and the Tikkun for fire is fire, just as a Keli that becomes treif, and it's used on the fire itself. In order to kasher it, you have to use fire to kasher it, the process of libun. So to hear the case of the malchus, which was put into golus, malchus, which is eish, haloi koi dvorai ko eish num Hashem, the tikkun for the malchus is also through eish, through the Talmud Chacham, who is also compared to eish, compared to fire. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to prove on the pasuk chamas melech malachai moves vishchocham yichapreno, that the anger of Hashem over his Malchus, Chamas Melech, over the Malchus that's sent into Golus through our Averois, that anger is shown through Malachi Movis, through angels of death, through punishment and penalty. However, it could be corrected through Ve'ish Chochom Yechapreno. The Talmud Chochom has the power to forgive for a person's sins when the person is zeichet to be Mizvadeh before the Talmud Chochom, when the person is zeichet to confess his sins, to open himself up really, really wide to the Talmud Chacham, to really reveal his insides, to tell the Talmud Chacham all of his problems in religion, so that the Talmud Chacham could give him the real, true hadrocha in showing him how to come close to Hashem. This is where we're up to now, the paragraph Ubishvil Zeh. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ubishvil Zeh, and therefore, now, what gives the Talmud Chacham the power to forgive for sins? What quality does the Talmud Chacham have that gives him this gift? It's his anivus, his modesty. We quoted a pasuk, Va'over al pesha l'she'eris. Hashem forgives sins for she'eris. The Gemara darshins, l'mi she'mesim atzmoy kishirayim. To a person who makes himself like leftovers, he considers himself very humble, that's a person for whom Hashem forgives his sins. And Rabbeinu Zal showed that that's a Talmud Chacham. because the Torah tells us, where does Chachma come from? Chachma of Kedusha, v'hachachma me'ayin timotzei. Chachma comes from ayin. Ayin means nothingness, meaning the true knowledge of Torah, the true success in knowledge of Torah comes through modesty. And it's the modesty that the Talmud Chacham possesses, that's what gives him this gift, that Hashem gives him the power to forgive for sins. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "Ubishvil zeh." Once you understand this now, that it's the anivus of the Talmud Chacham that gives him the power to forgive for sins, now you can understand an event that took place in the history of Klal Yisrael. Kishehispalil Moshe al chei toegel. When the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu davened after the Jews fell into the pigam of the Egel Azov, the sin of the golden calf, Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Im tiso chatosom, if you're willing to forgive the sins of the sin of the Jews, fine. Ve'im ayin, and if not, mocheni no mi sifro chasher kosafto, please erase my name from your Torah. And the Gemara says this implied that Moshe Rabbeinu was putting his life on the line. This sefer implies the sefer hachayim, the book of life. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you're not willing to let the Jews live, then don't let me live either. I want to die first. I'm a loyal captain of the ship. If the ship goes down, I go down with it. So now Rabbi Nizal explains, Kizeh min hanimna, because this is an impossibility. What's impossible? Shelo yovoi la'odom eze gadlus, that a person shouldn't feel a certain degree of gaiva, of arrogance, when a person is listening to people speaking his praises. If people are praising you and saying, oh, this, you're so wonderful, you're so good in this, that, it's impossible for the person not to feel a gaiva out of this. Certainly, if a great king praises a person, Azai bevadai min hanimna shelayovoi loy ezegadlus, then certainly it's just about impossible for the person not to feel any gaiva, any arrogance, or any haughtiness by the fact that he's being praised, and especially being praised by so great a person. Avol, but tzorich lozeh bitul kol hargoshoisa v'chumriyosov. The only way a person could possibly be put in that position and not feel any gaiva is only if the person actually nullified, destroyed completely any feeling of being a somebody or a something. The person destroyed completely their hargoshos, their feeling. I have zero feelings whatsoever about myself. I've deadened completely. I've made myself dead. Where if a person would say anything in the world to praise me, it means zero to me. I can block it out completely. Number one, the person has to be mevatel their hargoshos, and number two, chumriyosov, their gashmius, knows their body and their whole physical attitude and physical feeling. It's only a person who has been zeicha to be mevatel all their hargoshos and chumrius completely. Such a person, it's possible for him to hear people praising him, and it shouldn't lead him into any gaiva or anything. Kemoi Moshe Rabbeinu. Like a good example of this would be Moshe Rabbeinu. Shero kosuv batoiro. Moshe Rabbeinu saw written in the Chumash, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. He saw written that Hashem spoke to Moshe. What bigger kavod could there possibly be in the world than that? What bigger praise could there possibly be in the world than seeing 1,000 times written clearly that Hashem spoke to you? V'Yisrael koirin b'chol yoim b'toiro shvochei shel Moshe. And the Yidden would read in the Torah every single day the praises of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hu bi'atzmoi mesaper lohem shvochov. And he himself
told them about his praises. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, "V'ho'ish Moshe onof moed mikolot amashel pnei adoma," that Moshe Rabbeinu is the most modest person in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews that Moshe Rabbeinu is not like any other prophet, that to the other prophets, Hashem spoke to them in a dream or in a hazy form. To me, Hashem spoke to me ponim el ponim, face to face. Who told that to the Jews? Moshe Rabbeinu said it to the Yidden. V'loi hoyo l'moshe shum hisparus v'gadlus mizeh. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't feel any pride or arrogance at all from this. He didn't feel any big shoddiness at all whatsoever, even after he told this to them. K'moshe kosuv, proof is, how do I know? How do I know that he didn't feel any big shoddiness? K'moshe kosuv, because the Torah testifies. The Pasuk says, V'ho'ish Moshe onov ma'oid, that Moshe Rabbeinu was very modest, very humble. Despite all of this, despite seeing all of this written about him and said about him, and despite the fact that he was mechuyev to teach the Yidden about his own greatness, still it didn't affect him in any way. Ubevadai, and therefore certainly, al yidei an v'sanusoi, through his humbleness, hoyokoyach biyat Moshe lechaper avoin hoegel, he certainly should have had the power to forgive for this sin, for the sin of the Egel. Based on what we learned earlier, K'moshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Ve'ish Chochom Yechaprena, that a Yid who is zeichet to be a Chochom has the power to forgive. And we said that Chochma comes from Anova, from Anivus. V'hachochma me'ayin timotze. We quoted that Pasuk, which says that the true Talmud Chochom is one who is zeichet to ayin, to be nothing, to be really humble. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly should have had the power to forgive for their ovoin with his onov. Onov is ayin nun vov. Ovoin is ayin vov nun. His anova should easily have been able to neutralize their sin. V'zeh shetoan Moshe. Therefore, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu's claim to Hashem was. What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Ve'im ayin, he said to Hashem, if you're willing to forgive my sin, I'm sorry, if you're willing to forgive the sin of the Jewish people, fine. Ve'im ayin, and if not, if you're not willing to forgive their sin, erase my name. What does that have to, what does one have to do with the other? What does erasing my name have anything to do with forgiving of the sin? Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Hainu im loy tisachatosom. If you, Hashem, are not willing to forgive the sin of the Yidden, boze atomare she'en li kol kach anivus she'ucha lechaper lem avoyno egel. It could only be because obviously I don't have enough anivus to be able to forgive for their sin of the egel. Because we just learned that if the Talmud Chacham does have the right degree of anivus, his anivus can eliminate the Avera. So if you're not willing to forgive their sin, obviously it's my fault. It's because there's a chasaron in my anivus. Bechein bikashti, therefore I request, Moshe Rabbeinu said, mocheinino, erase my name, Hashem. Why? Kidei sheloye koshel begadlus. So I shouldn't fall into any gaiva. If you, Hashem, are saying that my anova is not perfect, then erase my name from the Torah, because I'm afraid if I'm going to see my name written down, she'ani roya v'shomea b'chol eis sipur shmi u'shvochi b'Torah. I see every single time my name mentioned and all my praises mentioned in the Torah, ki mi yuchal lamoid b'zeh. Which person could possibly withstand such a test? Sheyishma sipur shvachoi v'lo yizgoe, that he should hear his praises being spoken about, and he shouldn't feel any gaiva imloy onov godol, unless the person is very, very modest. That's the only way in the world that he could withstand that. And if I am an onov, then you have to forgive their avera. K'moshe Kosov, as the pasuk says, v'oiver al pesha l'she'eris, that you, Hashem, forgive the sins of the Jews l'she'eris, l'mi shemesim atzmoy kishirayim, the Gemara darshins, for the one who makes himself like nothing, like leftovers. So therefore, this is what Moshe, now we understand the connection al pi pshat,
between what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. What does it have anything to do with erasing his name from the Torah if you're not going to forgive their sin? Now we understand that the forgiveness of the sin has to do with anivus, and having your name mentioned in the Torah and being able to handle it also has to do with anivus. So it's either or. If I'm an onav, you must forgive their sin. If I'm not an onav, Hashem, please, don't leave my name in the Torah like that, because otherwise it's going to hurt me.
And if Hashem wouldn't forgive him, then he said he would kill Bnei Yisrael.
Right.
If he'd kill them, who would Moshe be able to be a Bagag to the Goyim? They don't.
Hashem care. Would bring forth a new nation for Moshe Rabbeinu. What Hashem said at that time was, step aside, let me destroy all the Yidden, and I'll bring forth from you, children and grandchildren, a whole nation, a whole new Bnei Yisrael.
According to this explanation, Moshe Mechena doesn't mean let me die, just to take out my name?
Exactly. Otherwise, not it doesn't mean let me die, it means that also. But if what it was supposed to mean was kill me, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say kill me? There's other ways to say kill. The fact that the Torah wrote the words kill me in such a way shows us an additional lesson. There's Shivim Ponim La Torah. We know that the Torah has many each thing could be explained many ways. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zeh, this is what the Pasuk means in Chumash Dvorim, where the Pasuk says, v'hi bishurun melech, and it was when the kingdom got straightened out, got fixed up, Hainu shehamalchus also l'sharosho, when the kingdom of Klal Yisrael was placed in its proper place, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu was designated as the Melech of Bnei Yisrael, Kemoshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Va'anovim Yirshu Eretz. When will the Malchus be in its proper place? When those that have the Anivus are zeichet to be the Melochim. Va'anovim Yirshu Eretz. When those that have Anova will receive Eretz. What is Eretz? Rabbeinu Zal says, the Eretz hidino de Malchuso. Eretz represents Malchus, the judgment of the Melech. Kemoshe Kosev, as the Pasuk says, the Eretz miskoima moloi. The land will take revenge against him. The land will judge him. The Pasuk says, Yigalu Shamayim Avoinoi, the Eretz miskoima moloi. That when a person does Aveirois, heaven and earth will sit in judgment on him. They'll all punish him. They'll all be there to punish him. And we know that Mishpot comes from Malchus. There's a Pasuk, Melech ba Mishpot Yamid Eretz. So we see that Eretz is Malchus. When is the Malchus Kitikunai? When Anovim Yirshu Eretz, when those that have the true Anova, when they inherit the Malchus, that's when the Malchus will be Bishleimus. How does that come about? Through those that have this true Anivus, bringing about a tikkun for the Malchus which is in Golus. What is the Malchus? The Malchus is the Dibur. Dabor Echod Ladoyer, we learned last week. Dabor means a ruler, one ruler in a generation. Dabor also means words, Devorim. Kui mochem Devorim v'shuvu el Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal explained that when a Yid does an Aveira, the words of that Aveira in the Torah are put into Golus. Where do they go into Golus? They're engraved on the person's bones. So that the Malchus is in Golus, Shchinta Begolusa. Where? Within the person's bones. There it's experiencing a Golus. When is this Malchus Nistakein? It's Nistakein when the person confesses his sin before a Talmud Chacham. Then these words exit. The Dibur goes out. And how does the Malchus get its tikkun? Bedavka through a Talmud Chacham, who is an Onov. This bechino va'anovim yirshu eretz, that the onov is the one who affects a tikkun for the malchus that was in Golus. You see, many times in the Torah, Rabbeinu Zal weaves together A to B, then B to C, then A to C, then C to D, D to E, so on and so forth. And periodically he goes back and he ties together the items on the extremes. He'll tie A to F, to show you how everything is interwoven very, very well. Here with the Anovim, Yirshu Eretz, he brought together the Malchus and the Anivus. He wove that together also.
How is the verse, What's the connection between the two?
That there is a concept of the Malchus being restored to its proper place. The Pasuk says, Vayhi Bishurim Melech. This means when the Malchus is restored to its proper place. Rabbeinu Zal says, where is that? What does that mean, the Malchus being restored to its proper place? It means when the Malchus will be given over to those who have true anivus. As the Pasuk says, Va'anovim Yirshu Eretz. Anovim will inherit Eretz. What is Eretz? Eretz is Malchus. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give a very... Now, this was like introductory material related to the topic of Vidui Dvorim in front of a Talmud Chacham. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote a Gemara in Soita, and Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain that Gemara, showing how that Gemara teaches us the whole process of becoming Mekurov to a Talmud Chacham, and everything that's involved, and why. What are all the different components of being attached to a Talmud Chacham, being attached to a Tzaddik? Let me just read for a moment, because Rabbeinu Zal chops up the Gemara. Let me just read the Gemara inside for a moment, the story, so you'll understand exactly what's going on, and then we'll go into the Likutei Moran, you'll follow the whole thing piecemeal. The Gemara here is talking about the difference between Torah and Mitzvah. How when a Jew does a Mitzvah, he turns on a candle, he turns on a light. When a Jew learns Torah, he also turns on a light. But the Gemara shows that there's a difference between the two. That the light of the mitzvah is more temporary, the light of the Torah is more permanent. And then the Gemara says, still greater than that, is, in other words, as permanent as Torah is, it's not 100% permanent, because we know that there are people who went into studying Torah, and then they fell away. So Rabbeinu Zal says, you want to talk about real permanent, real final is when a Talmud Chacham dies. When a Talmud Chacham passes away, that's when you know that his Torah and his mitzvah are final, that it's not going to leave him anymore, period. You know, that he made it through this world successfully. So the Gemara gives a moshul. The Gemara says that this could be compared to a person who's walking in the thickness of the night. And the person is afraid, a person walking at night in the forest is afraid of three or four things. Number one, they're afraid of thorns, thistles, they're afraid of those things. A person's walking the night, they can't see where they're going in the forest. They're afraid they're going to bump into a thorn bush or something like that. Number two, they're afraid of chayos rois, and listen, they're afraid of wild animals or burglars, robbers that hang out at night specifically, that wait in the night for people to come through these roads and they pounce on them. Number three, the third problem that the person has is when he's walking at night in the dark, is that he has no idea which way to go. He has no idea of what direction to go in. So the Gemara says, as soon as the morning star comes up, Kivon She'ola Amud HaShachar, Nitzol Michaya Roam and Alistim. Immediately, two problems are solved for the person. He's not afraid of wild animals anymore, and he's not afraid of those burglars that work at night. Because as soon as the morning star comes up, it starts getting light, those animals go to sleep. Those animals that are up at night, as soon as it starts getting light, they go to sleep. Their avodah is finished. And these burglars that do their work at night also go to sleep. So that problem is solved as soon as the morning star comes up. Then the Gemara says, but still, the person is afraid. We skipped a step. As soon as the person gets a torch, an avuka shaloyer, automatically he's not afraid anymore of the thorns and thistles because he sees where he's going. He can avoid bumping into any thorn bushes, but he's still afraid of the chayaro and listim because they get attracted to this light sometimes, this kind of light. Then the Gemara says, as soon as the morning star rises, he's no longer afraid of the chayaro and listim because they only hang out at night, period. So the torch is compared to a mitzvah. The morning star rising is compared to Torah. The Gemara shows the connection between the two. But then the Gemara says, but the person still doesn't know exactly which direction to go in. But higia l'proshas drochim, as soon as the person gets to a crossroads where there's a sign up saying this way to Yerushalayim, this way to Tel Aviv, then his problem is solved completely. Then he knows exactly which way to go. The Gemara says, what's crossroads? Crossroads is a Talmud Chacham on the day of his death. That's when he meets the crossroads, meaning he leaves this world and he crosses over into the next world. This is a mushal that's given in the Gemara to illustrate the difference between mitzvah, Torah, and death as the final step of a Talmud Chacham when he can really be sure of himself. Until the Talmud Chacham passes away, he's not really sure of himself.
There's a different approach in the Gemara, different opinion.
Exactly. One opinion in the Gemara is that Proshas Drachim Zu Talmud Chacham V'Yom Hamisa. Exactly.
But when he has a little light, so he does see where he's going.
He sees where he's going to the degree that he's not going to bump into any bushes. But if a person is trying to travel from one city to the next, even if he has a flashlight, it doesn't help him. Because it's hard to figure out which road is going to that city, which road is going to that city. Until he gets to a place where there's a crossroads, and there's usually a sign up, then suddenly he knows if he was moving in the right direction or not. You understand? Let's see the Gemara now. V'sehu shomer chazal, Rabbi Nezal says, this is what the Gemara says in Saita, Moshe le'echot shoyim ahalech baderech b'ishon laila. The Gemara says that this concept of mitzvah and Torah could be compared to a person who's walking on a road in the thickness of night, be'ishon laila v'afela, u'misyorei min hakoitzim, u'min apchosim, and the person is afraid of thorns and thistles. Thistles is something like thorns. U'michayaro, and from wild animals, u'milistim, and from burglars, these night prowlers, and he doesn't know in which direction to get to the destination that he wants to go to. Now Rabbi Nezal is going to give a very beautiful explanation to let us understand, to summarize, what are all of a Yid's basic problems in religion. Everything. Rabbi Nezal says, Kize yadua. This is a known fact. Shekol hamidois rois v'toildois sehen, Nimshochim midalad yesoidos, that all the bad characteristics of a person, all the bad traits of a person, and their toildos, and the things that come from, that are outgrowths or results of that, where does it all originate from? It originates from the dalad yesoidos, the four basic ingredients that go into making up a person, which are eish, ruach, mayim, and ofor. Fire, water, air, and dirt. Those four basic elements that go into creating everything in this world, they determine the degree of midos rois that a person has. For example, if a person is a kason, if a person has a bad temper, obviously there's an imbalance that's taking place within them where there's too much eish or too little mayim. There's that kind of imbalance. If a person by nature is very depressed, very low, down, obviously there's too much offer. The aside of offer represents atzvus and those kind of things. There's an imbalance where the offer is too much. If a person is too frivolous, there could be a hiskabrus of eish and ruach, too spirited, too much enthusiasm, in a way that it's dangerous. Kimuvo b'mishnas chasidim, as is explained in the Sefer Mishnas Chasidim. Now that's one. Rabbi Nezal says, "Kol amidos rois v'todosenim shochem midalad yisoidos mi'arba morois." They stem from the four basic elements, and now Rabbi Nezal goes on to explain how these four basic elements, which we just said, eish, ruach, mayim, and ofor, also correspond to the four types of life in the world, which are doimim, tsomeach, chai, and medaber. Doimim means inanimate objects like a rock. Tzomeach means plants, chai means animals, medaber means human beings. Rabbi Nezal explains now, atzvus v'toil doiseho nimshochim midoimeim. The Sefer Mishnas Chasidim, which is one of the Sifrei Kabbalah, goes on to explain that atzvus, depression, and all types of related things, everything that's related in that family of depression, all comes from doimim, like a rock. A person is hard as a rock and locked in, weighed down like a rock. That's where atzvus comes from. Taivois rois v'toloisein. When a person has bad desires, they like what they're not supposed to like, and all kinds of related things, everything in the family of Taivois rois, nimshochim mitzomeach. That all comes from plants. Dvorim betelim v'toloisein. The fact that a person wastes words, the fact that a person talks and doesn't say anything worthwhile, that midoro, where does that come from? Nimshochim michai. That comes from animals. Gaivo v'toldoiseho, arrogance and all related items, nimshochim mimedaber. That comes from medaber. Each one of these items, which represent the major problems that a Jew has, whether it be atzvus, whether it be dvorim betelim, whether it be gaiva, whether it be taivois rois, each one of these items comes and is tied into one of these four yesodos. Rabbein Azal says now, umi sheroitze leilech b'derech hakodesh, and a Jew who wants to go on the path of holiness, tzorech l'shaber kol hamidois rois. The person must break all of these bad characteristics. V'yisaper lifnei ha-talmud chochom. And the person must be willing to discuss their own personal problems with a talmud chochom. Hainu vidui dvorim. This refers specifically to confession. A person confessing their sins. V'ha-talmud chochom yifaresh v'yavarer loy derech lefi sheresh nishmosoy. And then the talmud chochom will explain for the person and select for this person a custom-tailored path according to that person's neshama, exactly what that person needs to fix up all of their sins and to get to where they're supposed to get to in Kedusha. V'yesh sholosh b'chinois b'hiskarvus letzadikim. Rabbein Azal says that there are three aspects to this concept of coming close to tzadikim. Shalidei sholosh b'chinois elu nistakein hakoil. Through these three items that we're about to explain, everything gets fixed. What is everything? All the problems that we just discussed. Atzvus, taivois rois, dvorim betelim, and gaiva. Rabbein Azal says, ve'elu heima shloisha b'chinois. And these are the three aspects of becoming attached to a tzaddik to such a degree that you'll be able to rid yourself of all four of these items, all four of these problems that stem from the Dalet Yesodos. Now Rabbein Azal starts explaining. Habechino Harishoino, the first major significant aspect of becoming attached to a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, is kisheroye es hatzaddik, seeing the tzaddik, looking at the tzaddik. Kemoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'hoyu einecho royois esmoyrecho, that a Jew's, your eyes will see your master, your Rebbe, Hashem, either one. That there is a concept of looking at the Talmud Chacham, looking at the tzaddik. V'zois habechino mevateles hamidois rois hanimshochim mishnei hayisoidois doimeim tzoymeach. And this item alone, if a Jew is zoiche to look at a tzaddik with this kavona, that alone is something special, that alone can help the person get rid of these two problems. The problems that come from doimeim and tzoymeach. Which problems are those? Hainu atzvus v'toldoiseho, depression, sadness, and everything related to that. V'taivois rois, and also evil desires. By looking at a tzaddik, by looking at a Talmud Chacham, that alone helps the person to get rid of atzvus, depression, and taivois rois. How? What's the connection? Rabbein Azal is going to explain this perfectly. Rabbein Azal explains now. Kitzadik hador nikro aim. The tzaddik of the generation is called the mother. Al shem shehumenik liYisrael bo'er teirosoi, because a tzaddik is one who nurses the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, with his Torah. V'hatoyro nikras cholov, and we know that the Torah is called milk. K'moshe Kosov, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Dvash v'cholov tachas l'shoinech, that the words of Torah are like honey and milk under your tongue. So we see that the Torah is compared to milk. Therefore, those that teach Torah, the rabbi that teaches Torah to a student, is compared to a mother that gives over milk to her child. V'zeh onuroyim b'chush. And Rabbein Zal says, one thing people know, one thing people see in nature, in the world. What is that? Kishahatinoi kuba'atzvus v'atzlus. That when a baby is in a bad mood, when a baby is depressed or sad, kisheroya esimoi, as soon as the mother walks in, let's say the mother wasn't in the room or the mother wasn't in the house, and the child was being watched by a babysitter or something, and the child is in a not in a happy mood. The minute there's a knock on the door and the mother walks into the room, you see usually it's natural for the baby or the child to jump up and go running to the mother, running happy. What made the child so happy? Seeing its mother. That alone gets rid of atzvus v'toldei seho. Rabbein Zal says, this we see b'chush, this you see with your eyes, that when a child is depressed or lazy, atzvus or atzlus, depressed or sluggish, kisheroye simoy, when the child sees his mother, hu nis'oireir bizrizus godoy likra simoy, the baby goes running to the mother. Zrizus, the opposite of atzlus, and the opposite of atzvus. Gam onuroyim b'chush, we also see kishatinoik oisek b'divrei shtus shiloi. We also see that when a child is playing with its toys, with its silliness, toys, which are the taivos of a child. Its taivos are toys. An adult has larger toys. You know, each person has their toys on their level, their taivos on their level. Even though the child likes the toy very much, still, as soon as the mother comes home, if a child was playing in the park, a child is on the swings in the park running, suddenly the mother comes to the park, the child gets off the swing, goes running to the mother. The child is even willing to let go of and to drop its taivos for the mother. This we see in the nature of the way life is. Humashlich kol ta'avos of achar ksefov. The child throws all its taivos over its shoulders, like it throws it away. Umoishich esatz moilimoi, and it draws itself to its mother. Nimtzo, Rabbein Zal says, we see from this. That just by looking at a tzaddik, who is this symbol of the aim, the mother of Klal Yisrael, that alone is enough to help a Jew get rid of the midos rois that come from doimim and tzomeach, which are atzvus and atzlus and taivos rois. This is what the Gemara means over there when the Gemara says, "Umisyore min hakoitzim umin apchosim." The person is afraid of the thorns. Rabbein Zal says, "Shehu bechinas tzaymeach." Thorns is something that grows. Pchosim is pits. I made a mistake. Barnokim is thistles. Pchosim is a pit, a ditch. And the person, as soon as the person gets an avuka voyer, he's no longer afraid of the thorn. When he's walking in the night, he's afraid of the thorns and the ditches. He's afraid he's going to fall into a ditch. So thorns is tzemeach. Upchosim a ditch shehi bechinas doimim. That's this concept of doimim, an inanimate object. And the Gemara says, when this person gets a torch, when this person is given a lantern or a torch, and the Gemara says over there, Zehu Talmud Chochom Shehu Ovik Ba'oir, the word avuka, ovik means saturated with. The term avuka is a torch which is saturated with light, which is like a Talmud Chochom who is saturated with Torah. So Rabbein Zal says, which means when the person is zeichet to find the Talmud Chochom, Shehu Ovik Ba'oir HaTorah, and through the Talmud Chacham, the person is zeichet to be saved from the midos rois that come from doimim and tzomeach, which are atzvos and taivos rois. Ve'oz nitzol min hakoitzim u'min hapchosim. Then the person becomes saved from the thorns and from the ditches. So this is the first major tikkun that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about in a Jew becoming attached to a Talmud Chacham, to a tzaddik, that there's an importance to looking. There's an importance to looking, just like the Gemara says that when a Jew learns, that looking at the letters of the Torah, the letters of the Torah radiate a chokhmah, which means if you're learning with your eyes closed or you're not looking into the sefer, you're losing out on a large degree of the chokhmah that's being given over. So too, when a person looks at a Talmud Chacham, looks at the tzaddik, that look alone is like a child seeing its mother. And just as Hashem has placed it within the child, when a child is seeing its mother, that there's a natural breaking away from any depression, any sadness, or any taivos, any toys, so too, if a Jew has the proper respect and love and fear for a Rebbe, for a Talmud Chacham, for a Tzaddik, if the attitude is the right way, and the person looks at the Rebbe with this feeling of Avo and Yiro and Derech Eretz, then that person is Zeche, that the look alone affects so big a tikkun, that seeing the Rebbe alone is enough to break him out of these chains of depression, laziness, Taivos Rois, all of those things get broken just by looking at the Tzaddik alone. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal explains that this naturally also applies to looking into Sforim, because a Sefer, a Tzaddik who writes a Sefer, puts himself into the Sefer. His neshama, the ponim, the face of the Tzaddik, is in his Sforim. So when a Yid is zeicha to learn the Sefer of the Tzaddik, and to have this thought in mind, that when I'm looking at these words written here, this is actually the face of Rabbeinu Zal, the face of the Tzaddik. This is his Oyer HaPonim. Just like when we talk about the light on the face of a Tzaddik, it's his Chochmah. Chochmas Odom Toyer Ponov, the Pasuk says, that it's the wisdom of a person that's the illumination of his face. So too, the Sefer of a Tzaddik is his wisdom. It's his Oyer HaPonim. And when a Yid is Zeicha to learn the Sforim of a Tzaddik Emes, like Rabbeinu Zal, and to learn it with this Kavona, that the act of looking into the Sefer, that's his Staklus Pnei Tzaddik, a Yid is Zeicha to see that this will break him out of any Atzvus and Atzlus and Taivos Rois. It's known that Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, who was one of the biggest Geonim and Tzaddikim in Breslov, on Rosh Hashanah, when all the Breslover would gather together in the city of Uman to daven together there, on Rosh Hashanah night, after davening, he would walk around the shul to look at everybody's face. Everybody's face. Why? Because he said he believes that the light of a tzaddik is given over, transmitted to his talmidim. The Gemara says that if you look at a Talmud, you can see who his Rebbe is. Because generally a good Talmud, is a reflection of the Rabbi. So he said all of these people that are gathering together here for Rosh Hashanah to fulfill the advice of Rabbeinu Zal, who taught us to come together for Rosh Hashanah in his name, in his honor, they are all actually, each one of them is a piece of Rabbeinu Zal. Each one of them is a reflection of the Oyer HaPonim of Rabbeinu Zal. And he wanted to be Mekayim this Bepshitas, looking at each one of their faces to receive this Oyer HaPonim, to be Mekayim this union of Histaklus Pnei HaTzadik. V'amech Kulam Tzadikim. Every Yid is a Bechin of a Tzadik. Naturally, the greater the tzaddik, the more so this will be accomplished. But we see there is this concept of looking at the face of a tzaddik, that being so important. We find in Hilchas Sukkah, there's a halacha that the schach has to be very thick, but not thick enough where it blocks out the light of the stars. The wording in the Gemara is that the person should be able to see the koychovim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why? Why the koychovim? The Zohar HaKadosh says, because the koychovim represent the tzaddikim. There's a pasuk, v'hamaskilim yazhiru kizoyar horokia umatzdike rabim kakoychovim, that the tzaddikim, they shine like stars in the night. So that when a person is sitting in his sukkah, he should be able to see the stars. He should be able to see the light of the tzaddik, the face of the tzaddik. This concept of histaklus pnei tzaddik. This is the first major tikkun towards a person being zeicha to go on the Derech Hashem. Next, Habechino Hashniyah, The second aspect of this is Hatzdoka shenoisein laTalmud Chacham. The money that the person gives to the Talmud Chacham, to the tzaddik. Through the act of giving tzedakah to a true tzaddik, to a true Talmud Chacham, a yid is zeicha to be saved from the midos rois that come from chai and medaber, which are shehem bechinas chayaro v'listim. They correspond to the wild animals and the robbers that are mentioned in the story in the Gemara. Shehem dvorim betalim v'gaiva v'toloseim. They correspond to these two items, which are dvorim betalim, a person wasting words, speaking words that aren't dvorim shebikdusha, not Torah, not tefillah, and gaiva, and arrogance, and all the things that are related to these two things. Now Rabbeinu Zohar is going to explain how giving tzedakah to a Talmud Chacham, to a tzaddik, helps a person to be zecher to be saved from these things, dvorim betalim and gaiva. Rabbeinu Zohar explains, k'al yidei dvorim betalim v'loshen hara bo anius. We know the Gemara says that through a pigam in dibur comes poverty. How do we know this? As the Gemara says, ki mesu kol ho'anoshim. The Pasuk says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can, even though you made a neder, that you're not going to go back to Mitzrayim, your neder was based on the fact that Dothan and Aviram were still alive. And you knew that they wanted to kill you. But Hashem said, have no fear, because Dothan and Aviram died, so they can't give you any more problem. They can't speak against you to Paroi, they can't cause you any problem. So Gemara says, what do you mean Dothan and Aviram died? We see later on by the parasha of Korach that Dothan and Aviram were alive and well. So the Gemara says, from here we see that Misa also refers to poverty. It means that Dothan and Aviram lost their wealth. And because they lost their wealth, their opinion is no longer respected by Paroi. A king generally has wealthy people around him whom he takes advice from, etc. Because they lost the yardum and achosam, they lost their wealth, they won't present any problem to you anymore. And we see over there that it says Misa, it uses a lotion of Misa. So the Gemara learns out that Misa means anius, poverty. Why did they lose their wealth? Because they spoke Lashon Hara, because they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Zal says, Zehu Anius. The Gemara Darshan's over there, that's Anius. So we see that poverty is a sign of Dvorim Betalim, of wrong kind of speaking. Number one. Number two, Gam Begaiva, also about Gaiva, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Memtes, Simen Legasis Ruach Anius. That a sign of gaiva, in our Likut Imran's, it's a mistake here, it should be daf memtes. A simen for gaiva is poverty. The Gemara brings proof that when a person is arrogant, he loses his money. So we see that poverty is a sign of gaiva and dvorim betalim. Va'al yidei tzedoko. So poverty is a reflection that a person is suffering from these two things. What's the opposite of poverty? Rabbeinu Zal says, "Va'yidei tzedakah nisasher." We know that when a yid is zeichah to give tzedakah makes a person wealthy. K'mo yisham rachazal, as the Gemara says in Gittin, "Im shleimim v'chein rabim v'chein nogoizu v'ovor v'anisicho lo ye'oncha." The Gemara quotes a pasuk in the beginning of Nochum, and the Gemara says over there, "Im shleimim v'chein rabim." Even if you have a lot, even if you're very rich, v'chein nagoizu v'ovar. You want your wealth to stay with you, share it. Share, S-H-E-A-R. Share it. Trim it. Trim your wealth. How? By giving a part of it away to tzedakah. Share, S-H-A-R-E. Also, share the wealth with aniyim, with poor people. Through the act, the Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says, what is this to be compared to? Sheep. The Gemara says you have two sheep that try to go across a river. One sheep whose wool has been shorn. The second, which is where its wool has not been shorn. The one whose wool has been shorn can go across the river, no problem. the one whose wool has not been shorn, as soon as the wool gets heavy from the water, it soaks up the water, the sheep drowns because it can't cross without a heavy weight. So the Gemara says this is the comparison of an oshir, a person who's wealthy. If he wants his wealth to have a kiyum, the key is trim it. Trim it. Give away a portion to tzedakah. How does the sheep come in? Why does the Gemara B'davka pick? That's the way. There's a pasuk ashterois tzoynecho. There's a pasuk that says that wealth is referred to as sheep. In other words, where the ashterois, the ashirus, is measured, is compared to and measured by the cattle of a person, that kind of thing. So we see that's why the Gemara, it doesn't say it over there in the Gemara, but I'm assuming that that's why the Gemara uses that as the moshul. That moshul, or rechilois, shte rechilois that are trying to cross. What does that have to do with wealth? It's based on this union of ashterois tzoynecho. So Rabbeinu, the Gemara says over there, Shuv ein marin loy simone anius, the anisicho loy oncho, that if you'll be zeuched to this v'chein ogoizu, you'll trim the ovar, and therefore your sheep will be able to go across, you'll trim your wealth, the anisicho loy oncho, then you will never be poor again. Hashem will never make you poor. So we see that giving tzedakah eliminates poverty. And if poverty is a sign of gaiva, gasas ruach, and if poverty is a sign of dvorim betalim, then obviously giving tzedakah eliminates gaiva and dvorim betalim. You understand? So Rabbi Nezal says, v'zehu, this is what the Gemara means over there, when the Gemara says, kivon she'ola amud ha-shachar, as soon as the morning star rises, nitzoyo mechayoro milistim. The person is saved. The person is no longer afraid of wild animals or these night prowlers. Why? Rabbi Nezal explains, Amud HaShachar Remez L'Tzedakah. The morning star refers to Tzedakah. Kemo Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Ki Tire Orum V'Chisisoi, if you will see a poor man that doesn't have clothing to wear, and you'll give him clothing with which to cover himself with, the Pasuk says, Oz yiboka kashachar oirech. Hashem says, I'll give you a bracha that your light will shine forth like the shine, like the light of the morning star. So we see that tzedakah is compared to this alois hashachar, this amud hashachar. Rabbi Nezal says, Nimtzo, we see from this that alidei tzedakah nitzo mimidois rois shel shnei yisoidois chai medaber shein bechinas chai rov alistin. We see from this that through giving tzedakah, a Jew is zeicha to be saved from those midos rois that stem from chai and medaber, which are chayor, which correspond to the chayos rois and the listim. Chayos rois are chai, listim, robbers, are medaber, human beings. Person is zeicha to be saved from those two problems. When? The amud ha-shachar, through tzedakah. By giving tzedakah to a Talmid Chacham Amiti, a Yid is zeicha to be saved from these items. Or by supporting the institutions of a Talmid Chacham Amiti, of a Tzadik Emes, of Rabbi Nezal, by supporting his Bote Knesios, Bote Midroshois, the printing of his Sforim, all of those items, that represents the giving tzedakah to the Tzadik Emes. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal explains. In the Parpros L'Chochma, in this chapter, he explains how all of these tikkunim are accomplished even after Rabbi Nezal passed away. During Rabbi Nezal's lifetime, we know he was speaking to his students, and he wanted them to perform these tikkunim with him. Even after he passed away, though, we see how these tikkunim can definitely still be carried on.
What's the connection between these two things, the Chai Medaber and Gaiva, those animals? The levels of creation with these types.
This Rabbi Nezal doesn't necessarily show in this Torah. It seems that in the Mishnas Chasidim is where that's explained clearly. How Doimim is Shayach to Atzvus, how Tzomeach is Shayach to... that's explained in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Rabbi Nezal doesn't explain it here, as far as I know. I believe it's like the four basic levels, like... I believe that's what it means.
So, how do you feel like the very beginning of the four elements within a man, four different types of element within a man?
Yes. That those four definitely, in other words, there's in the Sifrei Kabbalah, it shows a whole list of about 100 things that come in fours that there's a lineup between them. There is a clear connection between them. The four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, corresponding to the four seasons, corresponding to the four flags of the Jewish people. The Shvatim were divided up into four groups, corresponding to the four basic elements of creation, corresponding to the four levels within creation, and so on and so forth. There is definitely an overlay between them, where there is a correspondence. What I wanted to show you was an example of the Dalet Yesodos, this fire, water, and those things affecting the personality of a person, affecting those things. Rabbein Azal here shows you the other issue of these four levels of creation and how they play a part in the different aspects of a person's personality and makeup. Now Rabbein Azal says, Habechino Hashlishis, the third major aspect of becoming attached to a Talmud Chacham, to a Tzaddik, Kishemizvade Vidui Dvorim Lefnei Talmud Chacham. This refers to when the person gets close enough to the Tzaddik, to the Talmud Chacham, where the person is willing to open up completely. Person is willing to speak openly to the Talmud Chacham, to the Tzaddik, about all of his yiridos, all of his problems in religion, all of his averos, Rachmona Litzlan. When a Jew is zoche to do this, that's when the Talmud Chacham guides the person and directs the person on a clear path that corresponds to that person's individual neshama. Because no two Jews have the exact same path. Hashem is not looking for the identical type of nachas from any two Jews. Otherwise, He wouldn't have created them both. He didn't need them both. The fact that Hashem created two people implies that there are differences between them. Hashem is looking for certain distinct items from each one that He can't get. Each one of us possesses a certain nekuda in which we are outstanding, where no other yid has exactly what I have. And therefore Hashem needs me, that's what makes me unique and special. And in order for a yid to be zecher, to get to know how to use that and what to do with that, you need guidance, you need direction from a tzaddik, from a Talmud Chacham, who can show you. V'omru chazal v'zehu, and this is what the Gemara means over there in Soita, where the Gemara says, Higi al proshas drochim, as soon as the person arrives at a crossroads, then his problem is solved. V'omru chazal, and the Gemara says over there, Zu Talmud Chacham v'yoyim hamisa. What's the crossroads? When a Talmud Chacham dies, that's the crossroads. That's where he leaves this world, goes to the next world. That's the last stop. So Rabbein Azal says, Bechinas, this, the wording that the Gemara uses is Talmud Chacham and Yom HaMisa, meaning a Talmud Chacham on the day of his death. Rabbein Azal says, this refers to the Talmud Chacham and Vidui Dvorim in front of him. Vidui Dvorim in front of the Talmud Chacham is synonymous with Misa. Why? Rabbein Azal says, "Zebechinas vidui dvorim lefnei Talmud Chacham yoyim hamiso remez al vidui," because the concept of the day on which a person passes away, that's the concept of confession. Kamoishom Razal, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "Kol hamumsin mizvadin," all those that are required to get a death penalty according to the Torah, before they die, they're required to confess. So we see that Misa is synonymous, kol hamumsin mizvadim. Misa and vidui go together. So when the Gemara says, zu Talmud Chacham v'yoyim hamisa, it could also refer to zu Talmud Chacham v'vidui dvorim. Rabbein Azal says, v'zeh nikra proshas drochim. This is why the Gemara refers to this as a crossroads. Why? Ki haTalmud Chacham mafrish loy derech lefi shoresh nishmosoy. The Talmud Chacham specifies a path for the person according to his neshama, according to that person's neshama. Azai nitzol mikulam. And then the person is zoche to be saved from all of these things, from atzvus, from taivos rois, from gaiva, from dvorim betelim, then all the problems are corrected. Once the tzaddik provides the person a custom tailored derech and avodas Hashem for him, and the tzaddik shows him how to be completely successful in religion, then the person is zoche in one shot to have all the problems solved.
Because before the person was zeicher to get close enough to the tzaddik, where he could be misvada before the tzaddik, even though he went to the Talmud Chacham, and he gave him tzedakah, still the tzaddik is not yet in a position to tell the person exactly which way this person has to go, to teach this person exactly what this person has to do for the tikkun of his neshama. However, because there's a pasuk in Koheles that says very clearly that there is a path, there is a straight path in front of the person that leads to success, and there's a back road that leads to death, chas v'shalom. So that each and every single Jew is faced with this proshas drachim. Each and every single Jew constantly has to make decisions every day as to which direction to go in. And one direction is good, and one direction is bad. One direction is positive, one direction is the opposite, chas v'shalom. Aval kishehigia le proshas drachim, but when the yid is zeicher to arrive at the crossroads, what did the Gemara say is the crossroads? Ze Talmud Chacham v'yoyim hamiso, haynu vidui dvorim lefnei Talmud Chacham. This means when a yid is zeicher to get to this level of closeness to the tzaddik, where he's zeicher to be misvade to the tzaddik, azai nitzel mikulam. Then the yid is zeicher to have all of these problems fixed, all of these problems solved. And this is where Rav Nachman Shigarinzal explains that when a yid is zeicher to go to the grave of a tzaddik, especially to Rabbeinu Zal's tzion, the act of going to the tzion is a concept of coming to see.